Growing up, I certainly learned about the Eucharist, going to my religious ed classes on Wednesday nights, and I'm sure that there was a homily or two that I had heard along the way that talked about the real presence, but I must confess I was a little bit slow on the uptake on that reality of our Lord in the Eucharist. It wasn't until I went up to college and was beginning to grow in my faith life that the reality of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, the reality of him truly being present there, finally sunk in. And I remember when and where it happened. I had gotten into the habit of praying the rosary as a freshman in college, and the Newman Center next to campus was a beautiful place to do that, and on Monday through Thursday evenings at 8:30 p.m., they would pray the rosary. So I'd gotten into the routine of going there. Well, there was one Wednesday that I arrived there, and I noticed the lights were on full. Normally, during the rosary, they would be dimmed a bit. And as I walked into the vestibule in the back, I could smell incense. And I thought, what is going on? And I opened the doors to the church to go in to pray the rosary, and there were now a few dozen people that were there, and there was Eucharistic adoration going on. Now, sadly, in my youth, I had never experienced Eucharistic adoration, but I remember my feelings, I remember my emotions, I remember even intellectually what occurred in that moment. All the times that I had heard that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist all came flooding into my mind at that moment. Because I realized up there on the altar, if we truly believe what Jesus says, if we truly take him at his word, there he was, and the people had gathered to adore him. I was so excited in that moment, I remember. At the conclusion, after benediction, we went out to the vestibule, and I immediately got on the phone and called my friend Jed. I said, Jed, do you know about Eucharistic adoration? Jed had grown up in a very, very strong Catholic family. If you ever pray a meal prayer with them, it's almost going on a retreat before they begin eating. And so I called Jed, and I said, do you know about adoration? He said, well, yeah, of course. I said, this is amazing. And I remember that moment. That was when it really sunk in. That was when it went from just something that I had heard preached about, something that I had read about, to really recognizing what a gift the Eucharist truly is to the life of our church, for the life of each and every one of us. For it is in the Eucharist where Jesus Christ is truly present in our midst. And this all stems from, of course, the Last Supper. If we really take Jesus at his word, if we really pay attention, one of the things that we see is the clarity with which he speaks about the Eucharist. Jesus, of course, being Jewish, knew all the practices that had been there around the time of the Passover. But of course, in his divinity, he knew that all of that going back to Moses with the Passover was preparing for this great gift that he was going to give to the world. And so on that night at the Last Supper, he gathers his friends, and they knew this, they had been through this ritual before, but something different occurred that night. The words that would typically have been said were altered by Jesus. I can only imagine the apostles now being caught off guard. Because a lot of times, even we as Catholics can get into the routines that we have of our prayers, and if something goes amiss, if something's slightly off, it kind of catches our attention, and we perk up a little bit more. So I'm sure the apostles gathered around as Jesus was changing the words that they would say. I'm sure it caught their attention. And so they peered in and listened a little bit closer. And Jesus said those truly beautiful words, this is my body. This is my blood. Notice that Jesus does not say, this represents, or this symbolizes, or this is a recollection of. He said definitively, this is my body, this is my blood. I suspect, somewhat like me, the apostles didn't quite fully understand what was occurring in their midst. I'm sure it took them a little while to process the beauty of what had been given. But I'm sure it became so important to them on that day when Jesus ascended to heaven. For he had promised them, I will be with you always until the end of the age. But then they see him ascend to heaven. And they may have asked amongst themselves, where is he? He said he would be here. And I can imagine one of them having that beautiful gift of insight saying, you know where he is? In the Eucharist. And we see in Scripture that the celebration of the Mass, the celebration of the Eucharist was so important. And those words were so vital that even St. Paul recounts the Last Supper and what Jesus said. Keep in mind, St. Paul was not at the Last Supper. That shows us just how vitally important this Eucharist was, that even St. Paul could recount word for word what Jesus had said at the Last Supper. That shows us how important this Eucharist was to those very first believers, and how important it is for us today. Now, I do pray that you have had those types of encounters with the Lord in the Eucharist and had those moments where your eyes have been opened and your heart has seen the Lord there in the Eucharist. And I'm sure if you've had time in adoration, it's been beautiful. But I want to offer something else that took a little bit longer for it to sink in for me. For if we go back to the Last Supper, as Jesus was holding up that bread and about to say those words, notice something. Jesus does not simply say, this is my body. Stop. He says something more. He says, this is my body given up for you. And then he takes the chalice and he says, this is my blood poured out for you. What does that mean? Recall what Jesus said. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No one has greater love than to sacrifice, than to give up, than to pour out their life for their friends. And see, here's the other beauty of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not just Jesus sitting there. The Eucharist is Jesus loving us actively in that beautiful moment. For you see, when I first discovered the gift of Eucharistic adoration, initially, it was a little bit of me looking at Jesus and Jesus looking at me. But what it took longer for me to discover and to see is that the Eucharist is not just the passive presence of our Lord, not just him merely observing and looking out upon his people, but it is him giving of himself and loving totally and completely, even in the Eucharist that's there in front of us. So when we have our encounters with the Eucharist, we have to see and recognize that that is Jesus loving me. Think, for example, of a couple that's in love. When couples are in love and they have that, they don't just merely sit in each other's presence. Imagine after a wedding, this couple, they exchange their vows. Do they just merely sit and then observe each other for the next 70 years together? Well, there might be a moment or two of that, admittedly. But no, what do? They go out of their way to give of themselves to each other, to make sacrifices for one another, to show their love for one another. Their love is not passive, but their love is active. And that's how Jesus is with us in the Eucharist. For every time we pass a tabernacle, every time we see the Eucharistic Lord in adoration, he's not merely staring us down. But rather, he's giving of himself in that way. And so we need to examine ourselves too. When I have my encounters with the Eucharist, do I love him back? Do I see in the great gift of the Eucharist his love that calls for a response? For you see, he gives of himself so totally. Do I respond, or am I merely somebody who simply receives his love and then moves on? Because if we are simply ones who just receive and do nothing in return, it's not love, but we become like parasites. See, his Eucharistic presence is active love. And it begs for a response, to give of ourselves back to him, to recognize his love, and then share that back. And so I'm going to give you three recommendations, three ideas of how to love our Lord back in the Eucharist. It's always three, of course. The first is going to be what I've already mentioned, the beautiful gift of adoration. Now, we are so fortunate in this diocese to have adoration chapels in so many of our churches. So many of our priests and deacons have made the time to have this available for us in the life of our church and to avail ourselves of this. Now, true, depending on our state in life and where we are now, we may not be able to make the commitment of an hour specifically. But to say, can I still make this an opportunity? Can I still make this a time where I don't just pass that by, but I go to some adoration? That I spend perhaps 10, 15 minutes there. And not making it just simply a rush in and rush out, but spend that time to give thanks to the Lord for his presence in the Eucharist. He made himself so accessible. And we can spend some time with him in those ways. The second that I'll recommend is something that I learned from one of my seminarian classmates a few years ago. When we were in seminary, we were driving around and we drove past a church over in St. Paul, and I saw him make the sign of the cross. I said, "Oh, is everything okay?" And he said, "Well, we just drove past our Lord." And I thought, oh, what a beautiful tradition. And maybe some of you have this practice currently. But it's such a beautiful way to recognize that even if I can't stop in, I'm driving past a church, and there in the tabernacle, our Lord has given himself to be present in our midst. We ought to acknowledge it. I know as a youth, I was very good at identifying McDonald's when we went by and pointing those out. How much more so should we recognize the presence of our Lord? And especially those of you with children, what a beautiful way to remind them that there is Jesus, and the children enjoy it. The third way is in preparation for the Mass. A lot of times we have in front of us clocks all over the place, whether they're on our phones or on our wrists, in our cars, and everywhere. And if you're like me, I can sometimes fall into the temptation of knowing exactly, because of my GPS, how long it'll take me to get to this place, and I try to arrive exactly at that moment, or whatever meeting or any other scheduled event I may have. But ought we not treat the beautiful gift of the Mass, where we not only get to adore our Lord, but to receive him, ought we not give that some preparation? Ought we not try to arrive early if we can, to spend some time in prayer, to recognize what we are about to receive, what we are about to encounter? And then at the conclusion of Mass, too, as much as I enjoy donuts as much as the next person, to still say, wow, I've received something much better than a donut here at Mass. I've received our Lord in the Eucharist. Shouldn't I spend a little bit of time in thanksgiving? A little bit of time saying, thank you, Lord, for your great gift. And that's our return in that. This was of such great importance that there's the story about St. Philip Neri, that he had a woman at his parish who regularly, every single Sunday, immediately after communion, would leave and would not stay for the final prayers. And so he decided that to honor our Lord in the Eucharist, that the next week she appeared there, and waiting in the back of the church were two acolytes that were there, one holding a red candle and the other holding bells. And as the woman left, they followed her down the street, ringing the bells and carrying the torch. And she said, "What are you doing?" And the acolytes said, "Well, Father Neri said to us that the Lord is with you and you are a walking tabernacle. She didn't leave early after Mass after that. But how many times, too, do we pay attention to that? For that time, we get to be a living tabernacle. Our Lord is loving us in our very bodies, and we should spend some time loving him back. Today we celebrate this great gift of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord found in the Eucharist. It's a day where we remind ourselves and we pay extra close attention to what a gift that is, but recognizing that he's not merely there to observe us, not merely there to see us from on high, but he's there in the Eucharist loving us, pouring himself out for us. Let us not be a people who merely passively receive that, but let us return his great gift of love in the Eucharist with our own acts of love, so that truly we can be united with our Lord in the Eucharist.